Today on Compassion Radio.
He's the one that goes with me because it's dangerous. He's like, I'll take you. And he goes with me. He takes my friend. They drive me there and they stay and wait for me until I minister to these women. It takes 2 days, but they go. So my Muslim dad is helping me speak to women, minister to women.
He's also helping the gospel of Christ to go forth in this country.
Yes.
Your father's a missionary.
Yes. It's like I'm a big believer or disciple of them before they even accept Christ. So when they accept Christ, they're ready.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Watef is a former Muslim living in Tunisia. Today, she shares her powerful testimony with Bram of how God provided for her and directed her every step after she was disowned and thrown out on the street by her father simply for accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. This eye-opening conversation offers a dramatic look at the social impact on a Muslim, especially a woman, when they turn from Islam and embrace Jesus. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part two of that conversation.
So, Watef, thank you for coming back to tell us more of your story today.
You're welcome.
Now, I know there are many who have been called out to follow Jesus from a violent background, and those are important stories to tell, too. In your case, your father was not violent, and he was not abusive in that regard. He was just trapped.
Yeah, he's expected to do something and bring me back to the right path.
Okay, so during those years, you're keeping things quiet, or he thinks it's manageable.
Well, he finds my books, he takes them away, he burns them, he doesn't bring it up. I go to church, I don't tell him.
So
I go
a little bit of a spiritual aggression in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's taking your books away, you keep getting more. What finally brought it to a head? What drove you?
I was at the wedding of two of my friends who were Christian, and the father didn't know. And I was like, I want my dad to be the one to bring me into the church. I want him to be part of that special day. I want him to celebrate that reunion in the church. I decided I'm going to go talk to my dad. And my pastor at the time, he said, Watef, there's a man who told Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me first bury my father.
Right.
And Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. And basically, postpone it. It's about postponing.
Right.
So I can't keep postponing. And I need to put Jesus first in my life. And then everything will be on the right order. So I decided I want my dad also to know. I want my dad to know about Jesus. So I shared with him. When I prayed, I got ready, and on a Sunday I told him. And I was expecting him to scream and be mad. And I said, Dad, you know, you always tell me I changed. And he's like, yes. May this be a revelation. I'm like, said to him, I became Christian. And he goes like, I know. It's like, finish. He knows. He's known the
so
whole
you
time.
Figure this is the end. This is the end, good end of the story.
Yeah. So other things happened during the following week. My young brother found out. My mom, he's upset. He's talking to my mom, not talking to me about it. And I continued to go to church, and one Sunday, as I'm going to church, my mother said, aren't you going to stop doing this? Your dad is going to stop you from going to church. I was like, fine, if he stops me, I'll go inside my room and pray. And it will be a way to share with him that it's not about the building, it's about Jesus. Well, he didn't stop me that morning, and I went to church. I come home, and my mother said, you didn't listen to me? Well, your dad said, if he comes home and finds you, he will kill you. You have to leave. It's like, okay.
Did you believe her at the time?
You know, I didn't believe. I don't know what was happening that day. I just sat on my bed and I said, Lord, show me something. And we've had I was still young in the faith, and we didn't have a lot of teaching. And one of the Egyptian teacher one time said, God can speak to us through the word. So I opened my Bible and I was like, Lord, show me a word. And I opened my Bible and it's Rebecca saying to her son, go to my brother Laban here, stay there with him because your brother is going to kill you. He's angry with you. And I took it as a sign, yeah, I can leave.
So it was God's permission for you to step away from the potential for danger, or for not wanting your father to sin.
The thing is, until this day, we haven't talked, me and my dad, about that day. I mean, I have a relationship with my dad that is beautiful. I will tell you about it later.
Yes, you will.
But that day I left.
Was it a sorrowful day for you? Was it a day of sorrow for you?
I was scared. I was walking down the street with a backpack on my back. So the day my mom said, you have to leave, that morning I was at church. And a woman, she's from Ghana, came up to me and said, Awatif, I need to give you 10 dinar. The Lord told me to give you 10 dinar, but I only have 20. Do you have a 10? You give me a 10 and you take a 10? And I was like, this woman is weird. Like, what are you doing? I said, no, I don't need money. I'm fine. I felt like insulted, like she wants to give me 10 dinar. Does she think I'm poor or what? So she went away and I was in the garden in the church and she came back and said, oh, I found change. Here is the 10 dinar. You have to take it because I have to be obedient to God. I'm like, oh, this woman. So I took the 10 dinar and then I decided I'm going to take a taxi since I have this 10 dinar from this woman. And I used all the change I have. And I only had that 10 dinar. I walk home and my mother is like upset. She's like, you went and I told you not to. Where did you go? He said she has to leave. If he comes and finds you, he will kill you. So I go to my room. I open my Bible. I read the verse about Rebecca. It's a confirmation from the Bible. I remember the 10 dinar. I look at the 10 dinar. I'm like, Lord, you want me to go. You have some money for me. And I hear a voice that says, you owe your mother 10 dinar. You borrowed 10 dinar last week. Go and pay her back. Leave without debt.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445 to find out more about the exciting projects this ministry is taking part in. That's the word compassion to 53445. Stay with us now for a brief time of worship.
Yeah. rejoice the humble poor believe. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church and earth and heaven. So come on.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I go to my room, I open my Bible, I read the verse about Rebecca. It's a confirmation from the Bible. I remember the 10 dinar. I look at the 10 dinar. I'm like, Lord, you want me to go. You have some money for me. And I hear a voice that says, you owe your mother 10 dinar. You borrowed 10 dinar last week. Go and pay her back. Leave without debt. It's like, okay, I just need to be obedient. I will go and she will tell me to keep it. This is my human brain. So I say, Mom, here's your 10 dinar from last week that I borrowed. She took it. I'm like, Lord, she took it. And I hear this voice. You're without debt. I'll provide for you. Go. And I leave. The thing is, I left with nothing. I walked out of the house. I go to my uncle. He has a vegetable fruit stand where he sells fruit. And I said to him, can you give me some money? And he said, precious one, you take the whole fruit stand. I mean, the word he used, precious one. I mean, God knew what I was going through that moment. Rejected, thrown, going out of my parents' house. And he's like, precious one. Gave me 1 dinar. I called a friend. Couldn't get a hold of her. I called another one. I said, please look for my friend and tell her that I was kicked out. I don't know what to do. And I didn't even have enough money to take a bus or anything. I started walking. I'm walking. These guys are pulling with cars. And I'm crying and I'm walking. And my phone rings like a mobile. Didn't have minutes in it. And I answered the mobile. This friend of mine said, Awatif, where are you? I said, I'm in the street. She's like, jump in a taxi, come to the church. I'm in front of the church. I'll pay your taxi. So I stayed with the woman for 2 weeks. And then the Canadian family took me in. And I did not think about my dad. I mean, later I found out that my dad went through a huge embarrassment like path. He took 2 months not going to the cafe because he couldn't lift his face in front of the society.
He felt ashamed for
He felt sin. Ashamed. He was questioned by his government, by the government, because he's an officer in the police. I was called in to the Ministry of Interior, investigated for becoming a Christian. I was not thinking about him. I was thinking, how can you not pick up the phone and see where I'm sleeping? How can you not ask, where is a what if? Because, like, yes, I'm 25, but in my culture, you live at home until you get married or you die. So there's two places you go to, your husband's house or your grave. And to not have my dad call and ask whether I'm fed, whether I have food, whether I have the bed, was hard for me. I was waiting for a phone call. My mother was the one who told me that the police is looking for him. So after I went and they investigated and I went back to stay with my friends, I called to tell him that I'm okay, because I know he knows that the police was investigating me. I said, Dad, I'm okay. And I thought he's going to rejoice. But he was mad. He said, and you're still going through that path? You're not coming back? So basically for my dad, it's like I rejected the culture, I rejected him, I rejected family.
You both felt rejected.
We both felt rejected. I had Jesus to help me through my rejection. He did not have Jesus. That's what hurts me. I hurt my dad. I made a choice that affected my whole family.
Yes.
And I had the support of the Lord. And I had the love of the community. They went through that pain on their own. They went through that shame on their own. They did not have the Holy Spirit to help them. I had all the support I need. So when I look back, I'm like, Lord, thank you for taking care of them. But I'm not sure they were able to know that God is taking care of them.
Now, what happened after you stepped out of your family's home and your father felt you had abandoned and betrayed him, and you went to live in safety for a time with some friends who were Christians?
That time was a time of growing, a time of discipleship, a time of finding myself, a time of just trusting God. So I was volunteering at the church. I found a job. I kept going to my local church. And at the same time, I kept remembering my family. So if there is somebody's birthday, I'll buy a gift and I'll send it over with a cousin. And then sometimes that gift was not received, maybe, but I did not care. I just continued to pray for my family and want to see them. And it really took my dad 6 years to talk to me again. It's like I see him at weddings and at funerals, and he wouldn't talk to me. But my family went through a crisis.
Okay.
And in that crisis, I don't want to share what exactly it was. It's just private for my family. But somehow I came in, and I was part of trying to find a solution. And here I am, the person that my dad thought, oh, I betrayed them, I don't love them. I come with all the love that is inside me, and I pour it, and I share in the pain. And, wow, she loves us. She's part of us. She hasn't forgotten about us.
They weren't forsaken after all.
No, no. And then after that, my older brother got married, and it is the responsibility of the sister to take care of the wedding and to kind of be like the person in charge of giving the favors and the sweets and the coffees.
The producer.
Yeah, and I was in charge of the waiters. And I was in the back, and one of my dad's friends saw me, and he doesn't know me. And then he met him in the cafe the following week, and he's like, oh boy, that girl of yours, she's with 10 men. She was spicy. She took care of the whole place. You should be proud of her. And then it's like, this man is telling my dad, you should be proud of her. And it's like, he doesn't know what's going on, but it did something in my dad's heart.
I'll bet.
And he went to my mom and told her. He said,
the power of speaking well of somebody.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know. I was just me. It's my brother's wedding. Of course I'm going to do all I can to... It was cool that he told my dad there. And then in my job, I worked at a school, and this school was burned by the extremists.
Wow, the school was.
Yes, it was an American school, and the extremists attacked the school. And
what year was this?
This was 2012 or 13.
This was shortly before the Arab Spring was coming.
Right after.
Right after that. Wow.
Yeah. And so I was the PR person of the school. And I was on the radio and I was on TV. And here is my dad sitting in the cafe and his daughter is on the radio or his daughter is on the TV. And he's proud of his little girl that he thought she left to be a Christian. And he's no longer ashamed of me. Because
especially standing up to the new danger, the conflict that was coming to Tunisia that the Tunisians had to face down, which was the influence of ISIS and Daesh, if they were going to actually take over or shatter the government like they had done so many other places. It was a very dangerous time for the country. And here are you standing up in the name of Jesus on behalf of the entire country and speaking peace over this country.
Yeah.
And that made your dad proud. That can only have come from the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I have to believe that the Holy Spirit moves everywhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just change us, but it changes people around us.
And the people around you were being changed.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
So next is like it melts. There's no issues. There is no problem. And I start visiting my family. They start visiting me. I got some saving and I decided I'm going to buy an apartment. And I was able to call my dad and say, would you go with me to choose an apartment? And he's proud. He's helping his daughter buy an apartment. So it's like, I think it's pride and shame, and when it changes, everything changes. So instead of having shame, there's pride. He's proud of me, and he watches my life, and I don't back out on Jesus. I still follow Jesus. I mean, today, my dad is the one that drives me when I go and speak to 12 women near the Algerian border and minister to them. My Muslim dad is helping me minister to women.
He's also helping the gospel of Christ to go forth in this country.
Yes.
Your father's a missionary.
Yes.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.